A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Special thanks to our host, Young Israel of Cherry Hill. Shabbos Nun Dalid, Shabbos 54b, pagination 108. We're doing the end of the Mishnah that can be found on the top of the page. So we're starting about 10 lines down. At the end of a line, in the middle of a line, Velo biritsua shebein karneha. And one of the things that an animal is not allowed to go out with on Shabbos, that the owner is not allowed to put it there, because he's in effect asking the animal to carry for him on Shabbos. It's about 10 or 11 lines from the top. Is a strap between its horns, which the easiest way to learn is that it's there for decorative purposes. And according to everyone, Rav and Shmuel, if the item is there for decorative purposes, it's prohibited on Shabbos. Now, the Mishneh Berurah, when he brings this, comments that there is a machlokas rishonim. According to some, if the animal would be wearing the decorative thing every day of the week, then it would become part of its normal adornment, and it could be that it's permitted. But if it's not a very steady thing for it to be wearing, for example, you could see this playing itself out, where the owner puts the adornment on L'Kavod Shabbos. So then that adornment is considered a masui, a load, because the animal doesn't really care about getting dressed special L'Kavod Shabbos. And therefore, V'lo b'ritzua shebein karneha, you're not supposed to be putting this on the animal. The Mishnah concludes and says, Paroso sherabi Elazar ben Azariah, hoiser yotzeis b'ritzua shebein karneha. The cow of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah would go out with such a strap, shalo b'ritzon chachamim, against the will of the sages. They were in full disagreement that they're not supposed to have this strap on the cow on Shabbos. Let's drop down to the bottom of the page where the wide lines begin, and we'll see the development of this final part of the Mishnah. Page 108, Mendalad Amid Beis, at the wide lines. The end of the line. V'lo b'ritzua shebein karneha, and not with the strap. Ila Rav, if you follow Rav's opinion, which we did 2 days ago in the session, bein l'noi, bein l'shamer, asur, whether it's an adornment, whether it's to guard it, either way it was prohibited. Ila Shmuel, l'noi, asur, l'shamer, mutter, according to Shmuel, for adornment is prohibited, and either way this item is an adornment, and the animal has no business wearing it. In other words, you have no business putting it on the animal to have it carry for you on Shabbos. Now here's the question. Paroso she Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. The cow of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah went out with this adornment on Shabbos, and the Chachamim, the sages, objected. Ask the Gemara. V'chod apara hav yaleg. He only had one cow. What's going on over here? For Omar Rav Amri Lomar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Teresa Alfei Igloi. There were 12,000 calves. Have a Meiser Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Me Edrei Kol Shata. Was the tithe, the tenth tithe of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's herd every year. Now the number 12,000 causes us to realize that he had an enormous herd. If the new is 12,000, and that's only Meiser, and I don't know for sure if it's possible to say that this is guzma, that this is an exaggeration, but the number 12,000 is not a typical number to be used as exaggeration, and it would seem that we have to swallow the bullet and say that he was a phenomenally wealthy man. But in any case, that's however we dissect the Gemara, but that's the Gemara's question. He had a lot more than one cow. what's going on over here with this Mishnah? And by understanding the depth of how a Gemara approaches the Mishnah, this one little observation is going to cause us to realize that the whole case is different than we understood it. Tana, we learned, we have a tradition about this Mishnah. Lo shalah ha'isa, this cow that we're objecting to wasn't Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's cow. Elo shal shecheinaso ha'isa, it was his neighbor's. Umitok shalom michaba, but because he didn't object to the Shabbos violation that was going on with his neighbor, Nikris al Shemo, the Mishnah records it as if it's his, we fault him for the Shabbos violation. Because he didn't object, his neighbor, Elazar ben Azariah, between being wealthy and being a leading scholar, I mean, whichever type of clout you wanted him to have, he had. He should have been able to influence his neighbor not to do this, and therefore it's recorded in the Mishnah as if it's his fault. Now, there's a fascinating Taisvis I just want to observe, that Taisvis says that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah could not have been more than 14 or 15 years old at the time that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Because we know that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was all of 18 a few years later when they appointed him to be the Nasi instead of Rabban Gamliel. That's the famous Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah who becomes the prince at age 18. So there have to have been a few years for all those things that are described to happen before Rabbi Elazar becomes prince. First Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua have to have all their arguments. I mean, things have to happen. So he says he couldn't have been more than 14 or 15 at the time of the Churban and still be 18, leaving you a few years for all those things to happen. So he says, when exactly did this happen that he had 12,000 as the Miser, as the tithe? Being that, once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, they discouraged people from doing this tithe and they had other solutions for it because these animals could not be brought in the Beis HaMikdash. So what are you going to do with them? So you have a whole herd of animals that can't be used and are at risk of being abused by taking their sharings or accidentally using them for food or whatever. So they discourage this. So when exactly did this 12,000 happen that you make a statement that every year, predictably, so Taisus answers one possibility is that this was when he was a child. And other people were in charge. The caretaker was in charge, and it was called Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's estate, but it wasn't really his. I mean, it wasn't his actively. He wasn't the one taking the miser. From the age of 13 until the age of 14 or 15, it wasn't many years. Taisvis, at the very end of the Taisvis, suggests, in the name of Rabbeinu Elchanan, that this wasn't the miser of the Torah. This was Arnuna Lemelech. It was a tax to the king. And he sidesteps the whole question. That this Maisa, when we say tithe, was a tax from the king, and all we're proving from it is not how many mitzvahs Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah did, but how wealthy he was. That he had to pay 12,000 a year in tax, which is a great way to sidestep it, whether that's universally accepted or not. But the observation of the problem, just to gain historical perspective and to realize this is the same Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah who was considered enormously respected, that we need to understand that this question exists. Let's continue in the Gemara. Rav, v'Rabbi Chanina, v'Rabbi Yochanan, v'Rabbi Chaviva, these four Talmidei Chachamim, Masnu bekulid seder de moed, kol ki haizuga chalufi Rabbi Yochanan. I'm sorry. Rav Rabbi Chanina Rabbi Yochanan, Rav Chaviva Masnu bekulid seder de moed, kol ki haizuga chalufi Rabbi Yochanan ma'ayel Rabbi Yonasan. These three Talmidei Chachamim, the first three, and Rabbi Chaviva switches the name of Rabbi Yochanan with the name of Rabbi Yonasan. He says that's a mistake in the way they recorded it. But in any case, these sages tell us, "Kol mi she'efshal limchos la'anshei beiso," anybody who could object to the behavior, the misbehavior of the people in his house, and he doesn't, he's held responsible because he could have objected. In other words, this is considered part of normal living. You can't say, not my business. Likewise, if you could object to the behavior of the people of your city, you become responsible because you could have objected. In the entire world, which Rashi translates to mean the Jewish world, then you become responsible for the misbehavior of the entire Jewish world because you were in that position. It's talking about a prince, a person of power, of influence. We're out of time, and Mitzvah Shem tomorrow we'll try to do this piece onto the next blat, tomorrow's blat, which is a fascinating thing, a case where a person should have objected, a person should have taken responsibility on something wrong that was going on, and how he was held responsible. Yashar Koach, thank you, have a great day.